Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. Now, how many of us have spent hours working on jigsaw puzzles when we were younger? I was, that's for sure. Would it surprise you to know that jigsaws and other puzzles and board games, as I was saying earlier on, are still popular today and were a blessing to some people during the pandemic and the lockdown? Now, there's now a jigsaw library in Stourbridge where you can borrow puzzles in the same way that you borrow books at a regular library. To tell us more about the jigsaw library and how you can get a piece of the action is Emma Kilbride and Jan Richards, and they join me in the studio now. Good evening, both.
Good evening.
Thank you very much for joining us. Emma, first of all, what's a jigsaw library?
Well, as you just explained, a jigsaw library is a place you can come and borrow jigsaws. So we've got a large space that contains about 1,000 jigsaw puzzles. You can come and browse, choose one, choose two, choose three, as many as you like, and then take them away and borrow them and puzzle away to your heart's content.
Where did you get them from in the first place?
They've all come in through donations. So I put an appeal out during the COVID lockdown when I was going through a puzzling phase. I just got back into it, and then suddenly you couldn't go out and buy jigsaw puzzles, and I didn't want to buy them brand new because they're expensive. Mm-hmm. So I put an appeal out to the local community and said, I'm going to gather jigsaws and rent them out because I was raising money for Greenfield Primary. I'm on the PTA there. And I thought, I'll gather some jigsaws. People can borrow them. And that's an easy way to raise funds for the school. And it kind of snowballed from there. We started off with just a few puzzles, maybe 20, 30. And within a couple of months, I had about 500. And it's grown from there.
Wow. Jan, where is the jigsaw library based then?
The library itself is based in the grounds of Mary Stevens Hospice in the building just as you enter the grounds.
So why have you based it there?
Because Mary Stevens were kind enough to offer us that space.
Okay, well, that's good of them. And what was the reason for starting the library?
It was twofold. So the library came about because, sadly, I lost my mum.
Sorry to hear that.
And I was a bit lost at the time, but I had lots of childhood memories of puzzling alongside my mum, just sharing a space and doing things together. And because I wasn't feeling all that great, I thought, why don't I try a puzzle? It will remind me of her. And I found it very comforting. And that's what got me back into jigsawing at the beginning of things. And then with regards to raising money for the hospice, sadly, I lost my dad as well a year ago.
Oh, crumbs. No, that's sad.
Was diagnosed out of the blue with a brain tumour. He lived in London. I went down to London and lived with him and gave him palliative care in the home. And I think all of us think we know what a hospice is and think it's a good idea, but it's not really until you have faced the isolation and loneliness and desperation of knowing somebody you love very much is going to die, and then to have an organisation that comes to you without judgment and will give you unconditionally love, support, kindness, compassion, and will walk with you every step of the way, I was absolutely blown away. So when I came back from having looked after my dad, I said immediately to our group, please, please, can we change the target of our fundraising and support our local hospice? And that's how we came to be Mary Stevens Hospice supporters.
And of course, hospices do not get any state funding at all, do they? I mean, we've talked about that on the programme before, but they generally have to raise all the money themselves. And to provide that level of excellent care, it costs a lot of money.
It does, it does. And obviously, this is not going to solve all their funding problems, but it's going to be a little bit of money we can raise along the way.
What sort of reaction have you had to the library so far, Jan?
We've had a very, very good reaction. It's based, I think, mainly on our Facebook page, and we're getting a lot of interest from it.
And what sort of what sort of feedback are you getting from people?
They seem very, very happy to be able to do it. I think it's a lovely atmosphere in the library. It's very, very friendly. It's not just a place to come and borrow a jigsaw. You can come have a cup of tea, you can do a jigsaw, you can have a chat. It's a safe space, it's a warm space.
Now, with all this vast collection of jigsaws that you've got, talk me through some of the puzzles, you know, how many pieces and what sort of, you know, images have you got that the puzzles create?
Well, we've got a large collection, like I say, about 1,000 puzzles on offer to borrow.
That's extraordinary.
All the major brands are representative. So we've got all the Ravensburgers, Gibsons, WH Smiths, Wasjigs. Pretty much everything you might want would be there. We've got lots of 1,000 piece, lots of 500 piece. We've got a large children's section, but probably the section I'm most proud of is we've got over 100 puzzles with extra large pieces.
Oh, I was coming on to that.
Yeah. Well, there you go. A lot of people enjoy doing jigsaw puzzling, but then it may maybe in older age find that they've got sight or motor or maybe even dementia issues, and they give up puzzling because there's no joy left in it for them, or they need larger pieces and they find that they can only find children's puzzles, and there's no dignity in that, being sort of in your latter years of your life doing a child's puzzle. So we've amassed over 100 puzzles that are specifically for adults who need larger pieces, and that means that people can continue with their hobby and don't have to give it up.
That's superb. I mean, are you looking for any more puzzles, or do you think you've got enough at the moment?
Oh, you can never have enough puzzles. We're always looking for puzzles. Donations are always welcome. People can drop puzzles into the library at any time and we'll gladly receive them, because the collection is changing over time and people are very niche. You can't have exactly the right number of puzzles, because you might think, oh, 1,000 is enough, but people have very specific things that they like to do. It might be landscapes, or it might be cartoon-based puzzles or places they've been. So no, we welcome donations all the time.
And of course it's important to check, if you are going to donate a puzzle, that all the pieces are there.
Yes.
There's nothing more demoralising, is there, to do a puzzle and you find one or two pieces. It's always the bit at the end.
Yes. You only find out at the very last moment, and you're quite right. So no, we prefer them to have all the pieces, but obviously we puzzle with them all the time, so if we come across one that hasn't got the pieces, sadly it's for the chop.
Jan, how much does it cost to borrow a puzzle?
It costs £2, and
well,
it's for an
good.
Unlimited time. We don't specify a time length.
And do you, obviously, you track where the puzzles are going to, so you know?
Well, yeah, we just keep a note of who's borrowed them. Yeah.
Okay, so there's no fines incurred if people are late because you say it's open-ended.
No, it's loose and free.
I mean, how much are you looking to make from this for the hospice over, I don't know, 3 months, 6 months, however you're you know, judging it and assessing it?
Well, I think the answer would be as much money as we possibly can. But last year we changed over to Mary Stevens Hospice and we managed to raise £6,000. And that's when it was still operating out of my dining room. And now since we moved into our lovely library premises at the hospice, since the 2nd of December, we've raised £2,250. So we're on quite a good trajectory, and we're having we have sales in addition to the library loans. So I would like to put my neck out and think that we could raise £10,000 this year.
Excellent. Now, you're part of the fundraising group, as you've said. You better name check everybody else, otherwise they'll be hell to pay.
Oh gosh, we couldn't name everybody who possibly helps out at the library. We've got a huge team of, but what I can say about the group is that everybody is lovely. To a man or to a woman, everybody is kind, gentle, warm, inclusive, outward facing. It's a lovely bunch of people, and anybody can get involved. It's not cliquey in any sense. If anyone's listening, wants to come and volunteer at the library, wants to get involved in any way at all, they're most welcome.
What would you say makes a good volunteer, other than the qualities you've just outlined?
I think having the time, having the willingness to get stuck in, being able to bobble along with people. Jan, what do you think?
I think that's right. Yeah, just being able to get on with people, sit and listen if you need to, cheer people up, sense of humour.
Because you are a friendly ear. You said earlier on you're a warm space as well, so you've got to have a friendly ear. And you said that there's tea as well. Is there tea and cake or tea and biscuits?
Tea and biscuits. Yes.
Excellent.
And coffee and hot chocolate.
You see, I can be bought with tea and biscuits. I'm terrible.
You have to come and visit.
And we always have a community puzzle on the go. So if you are puzzling on your own at home, you can just as easily drop into the library. There's always a puzzle there. And people who don't know each other just sit round a puzzle, in either puzzle in companionable silence, or they work together to complete a puzzle and get to know each other through doing it.
That's a good idea, as opposed to just coming in, collecting a puzzle and go. So you're promoting that interaction. A lot of people are isolated, aren't they? And, you know, some people don't have any family or any friends, and they probably don't see anybody from, you know, 1 week to the next. So to come in and interact with others like that, is important.
And none of the people involved in the library knew each other before it came into existence. So all the volunteers as a team have come together through their passion for jigsaws, and we're picking up new people all the time. Yeah.
Now, you say this started in your dining room. I bet you're pleased to have that back now. But if you wind back the time to when we had COVID, how did you deal with this then?
Well, I took photographs of every single puzzle that was donated and uploaded them onto a Facebook group, so people could scan through all the pictures and then just comment underneath whichever one they wanted to borrow. And then I had a big set of shelves outside the kitchen door, and so people would comment onto a puzzle and say, oh, can I have this one? And I'd be like, oh, yes, when do you want it? And they'd say Friday morning. And on Friday morning, I'd put it on the shelves outside the kitchen, and people would come and pick up their puzzle. And I had a little milk churn money pot, and people would just pop their £2 in the milk churn, pick up their puzzle, and off they went. And in the same way, they could return it back to the shelves. So it was quite a sort of slick system, very simple.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've talked about your financial aspirations for the project. What are your hopes for the future of the library generally, would you say?
I think I would like it to be known for the inclusion, the accessibility, and the community more than the range of puzzles we have to offer. We're a wonderful group of people who are all united in a common hobby, and it's seeing the people coming into the library and enjoying their time with us that is secondary importance to the raising the money, but it is equally important to me.
Jan, what are your thoughts?
I think that's very much the case. I'd like us... We are innovative. I don't think anybody else runs a jigsaw library.
I've never heard of one ever.
I believe there is one in the south of the country, but it's not anywhere near as big as this. And I think it's good to think we're doing something different. Maybe other places will follow.
Now, you've been involved with a lot of projects like this around the Black Country for some time. What have you personally gained from setting up this particular library and being part of it?
I think, for me, this is a different aspect. This is something I'm doing on a voluntary basis. My previous things I've always been paid to do, and I'm getting a real sense of achievement from seeing all these strangers meeting, getting used to each other. We're all making new friends and we're welcoming the community. And I think this is fantastic.
Emma?
I've forgotten your question, I'm sorry.
What have you personally gained from doing this? Apart from your dining room back.
Well, that's a win in itself. But I think that because the origins of this whole project came from something sad, from losing my mum and then losing my dad, it is a great source of comfort to me that something so joyful can come from somewhere so sad, and I really feel that none of that has been in vain, and I've managed to channel it into a force for good, and it's keeping me on track and a lot of other people on track. So in a complicated world, it's nice to be part of something peaceful and joyful.
As you say, it's come out of sadness, unfortunately, but if your parents could walk in here now, what do you think they'd say?
Oh, they'd be blown away, absolutely blown away. My mum would be absolutely thrilled, and my dad would be like, oh my God, I've never seen so many bloody jigsaws, get rid of them. That's the honest truth. But no, I think they'd be happy and they'd be proud. At least I hope so.
Where can we find out more information then, Emma?
Well, we have a Facebook group, which is called Stourbridge Jigsaw Library, supporting Mary Stevens Hospice. Anybody who joins that group can find out more on there. But the easiest way would be to pop along to the library itself within the grounds of the hospice. We're open from 10 to 3 on a Monday and Tuesday, and on Wednesday, Thursday and Saturday from 9:30 to 12:30. And we're open on a Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 4:30. And anybody is welcome in any of those times.
Emma Kilbride and Jan Richards from the Stourbridge Jigsaw Library. Thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive. That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 6:00 PM. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by me, Clive Payne, and produced by Andy Caddick.